Okay, I got a loud voice. There we go. Good evening. Before beginning tonight's meeting, I'd like to make a few introductory remarks. The Safety Commission is comprised of seven Chula Vista residents who serve without pay and who have been appointed by the City Council. The Commission meets on the second Thursday of each month and has the responsibility of conducting public hearings on matters related to public safety. Seated to my right are city staff members Eddie Flores, the City Traffic Engineer, and Ben Herrera, Associate Engineer, who have expertise in traffic engineering, and Officer Ed Christopher from the Chula Vista Police Department's Traffic Bureau. They are here to provide information, analysis, and their recommendations to the Commission. If you wish to speak on an item on tonight's agenda, please fill out a request to speak form submitted to the recording secretary. When I call you to the podium, please state your name for the record. Also, we ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. Please take the time to place your electronic devices on silent. The Commission appreciates your interest in public safety and your attendance here tonight. Okay, the current time is 6:18 p.m. on April 13th, 2023, and I would like to call this meeting of the Traffic Safety Commission to order. Would the Secretary please call roll?
Commissioner Becerra first. Here. Commissioner Cardillo.
Present.
Commissioner Cervantes.
Here.
Commissioner DeMarco. Commissioner Flores.
Here.
Commissioner Luke. Absent, and Commissioner Orso Delgado.
Here.
Okay, if we all can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, as we're moving on to public comments, I'd like to call Ms. Mary Ann Saponara to the podium. Welcome back.
Will tell you the speed. Cut down. This is by
And, you know, and at the corner there, they show signs of people crossing. This is some, my neighbor's car that was totaled. My husband's truck was totaled. Houses have been struck. This is 725 Nacion. I live next door to her and a drunk. This is from the bar at down at the bottom of the street by Lolita's. This is the corner of Nacion and Jay. You see, it's a 25-mile speed limit going over the bridge. This is the crosswalk right there. I'm sorry I didn't straighten out the poles, but that's the crosswalk right at the end of Nacion. And they want to put a guardrail. Well, the drunks go right through the stop sign and into the canyon. This is another possibility. This is across from 7 Mile High Casino. We want something. We spent 2 hours last Thursday evening with Deputy Mayor Jose Preciado and the Secretary Diana Quintero. We gave some options that we hope will improve the safety of pedestrians. That's what we're here for. All right, thank you. And I can give, Florence, I can give you these pictures so you can share as usual.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to call Ms. Aurora to the podium.
Good evening, commissioners. It is a pleasure to be here. I somehow came last month and then found out once I was here that there was no meeting. I am here this time because, as I had mentioned before, there was an issue that we were trying to resolve with the Department of the Engineers. And I decided that I needed to come and find out, Mr. Flores, I appreciate the question you asked of what would be the purpose of this commissioner committee if there was more power given to the engineer. Right after that, when we met up, I saw a vivid example of why it would be important to not do that. And part of it is that it's very difficult to find a way to communicate with any of you so that you guys get some more information directly from anyone in the public. I tried that. I sent an actual complaint through the website where it says to contact the commissioners, do this. So I went there, clicked. I even came to the department. I asked the young lady. I said, every time I click on contact the commissioners, instead of giving me a list of emails or anything, it goes back to the city site. And she said, no, yeah, that is what you do. Otherwise, they're going to get a copy of anything that goes there. I received instead an answer from Mr. Eddie Flores from the engineers that had nothing to do with what my concerns were about at the time, and including the fact that Mr. Ben Herrera and Mr. Oberbauer, thank you. When we met, decided that his frustration over a citizen asking questions, legitimate questions, as far as I could see, as to why would this be necessary when there's no data backing up your decision, would there be better use of funding, called for him becoming condescending towards me, disrespectful and rude. I was pretty much left speechless, which is hard to do. And the lady that was with me, she interfered, and I was just completely surprised. Even Mr. Otterbauer is here. Is here, but Mr. Herrera even accepted and said, yes, I was condescending to you. And I was just surprised. I am here because we really need to do something to, as citizens, taxpayers, have a well-balanced staff that respects the public and respects the commissioners, that understands that each person here representing the public was placed in your seat for a reason, and that is to make sure that things are done justifiably. That is for the better of the whole community, for the safety of the community, not because I'm gonna do this and I campaign in front of your house because I can and I have the power to, which is what the answer I got. And I thought, we're not supposed to have that kind of system. We're supposed to have a system where we shouldn't be overtaxing certain people to not service them. The roads are paved with our taxpayer money, but now we're being asked to pay by putting meters on them in order to use them, to park on them. So how far is this going to go? That was one of my casual questions, by the way. I would like to know, if possible, I know you guys cannot answer right here, right now, but how do we contact you guys? How are we able to contact our representatives directly so that we can provide information or share our concerns with any of you without it being screened by the engineers department? I also mentioned, thought it was very interesting how staff, and I will keep repeating it, tries to control how the body here works and how they vote. I think that that shouldn't have to happen, because you guys need to have a right to have to be able to make well-informed decisions instead of being manipulated into making decisions according to what better fits the staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're gonna move on to our action items, number five, but before we move on, I'd like to welcome commissioners, our new commissioners, Monica Becerra first, Rodney Caudillo, and Tim DeMarco, who's not here today. Welcome aboard, and thank you for coming out, taking the time to be here. Okay, action item number five, resolution of the Traffic Safety Commission repealing City Council Policy Number 11009, Safety Commission Policy Delegating Additional Authority. And we have a presentation.
Good evening, everyone. Acting Senior Civil Engineer Ben Herrera is gonna go through the presentation. This is an item that was presented a couple months ago, but since we do have new commissioners, we thought it would be appropriate to go over the slide presentation and answer, obviously happy to answer any questions on this. This item is being brought forward because we identified some discrepancies between the council policy and the municipal code sections that cover the operations and functions of the Traffic Safety Commission. So I'll let Ben go ahead and start the presentation. Thank you.
Good evening. The item that was presented in the previous meeting was the recommendation to repeal Council Policy Number 110-09. Okay. For the background, City Council directed City Clerk to review the boards and commissions for opportunities to merge or clarify the purview. Determined that Safety Commission should be renamed Traffic Safety Commission, noted the existence of Council Policy Number 110-09 that defines staff procedures for handling citizen requests related to Safety Commission and City Council. And for the background, it goes through a brief history of the various policies and ordinances that were established going back to 1973. The most recent ordinance, 3205, authorized the city engineer to manage temporary traffic control for special events. The general policy is, in a brief, is as city engineer presents traffic control measures for commission consideration and approval. If the commission objects to proposed action, the matter is referred to city council for final decision. Commission can recommend to city engineer proposed traffic control measures for consideration. If city engineer declines recommended measure, the safety commission can refer matter to city council with 4 affirmative votes. Again, these are all stipulated in our Muni Code. The exceptions are the city council reserves authority for the following: traffic control measures in CIP, capital improvement projects, public community event, temporary traffic control measures, where the city engineer can authorize, traffic control measures affecting community businesses, including but not limited to angle parking and parking meters. The city engineer has the authority for traffic control measures related to temporary road construction activities, traffic control measures related to new developments and/or city projects. The procedures that we use is typically as follows. Citizen requests are referred to the city engineer. City engineer and staff investigates each request and determines whether further action is needed, and if so, what action is proposed. City engineer brings certain items and recommended action or denial to the commission for consideration, and the public is notified of the meeting. Commission can vote if it concurs with city engineer's recommended action. City engineer may implement. If concurs with city engineer's denial, decision is final, and the notice of decision is forwarded to council members, and they may request to hear the item within 10 days of the commission's action. The commission votes. If the commission vote is contrary to the city engineer's recommendation, item is referred to the city council for consideration per the general policy. Staff may refer to the commission for consideration precise plans for construction of building facilities built adjacent to or having access to or impact on major streets that may create potential for hazardous condition or may have detrimental effect on vehicular and pedestrian traffic. Commission makes recommendation to the Planning Commission. The overlaps with purview of the Planning Commission. Commission must review and approve trial traffic regulations that are implemented for an 8-month maximum period and will make final action or refer to the City Council at the end of the trial period. The challenges and recommendations regarding the policy. The policy indicates that all citizen-related requests are referred to the commission. And since the policy, the city has grown, you know, tremendously since it was last updated. If a citizen request is contrary to the California Vehicle Code or the MUTCD, which we use, or an existing council policy, staff denies the request without referring to the commission. Considering the redundancies and the discrepancies in policy 110-09, staff recommends the repeal. And that's the summary of the presentation. If we have any questions?
Anyone have any questions?
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yes,
and you'll have to excuse me. I know this is a continuance from the last meeting, and I couldn't find the meeting minutes for that. But and so maybe these questions have already been addressed. But you said 87% of the traffic requests have to be referred to the commission per the council policy? or per the municipal code? That was my number one question. And then number two, I know that this repeal is going to help city staff in reducing the number of requests coming to the commission and hopefully improve responsiveness to the citizens. Can you give us an idea on how many requests come in on a monthly basis? You might not have that answer, but just out of curiosity.
Yeah, so the 87% reference, I think, had to do with the growth in the population in the city. So per the policy, all traffic-related requests are supposed to come into to Traffic Safety Commission, which is, you know, given the number of requests that we have. And we did pull that data as far as the number of requests that come in, and we get approximately 20 to 30 requests per month that come in from the public. And in addition, the policy also talks about traffic control plans being reviewed and approved through the commission as well. And if we take into account the number of traffic control plans that we review, that's 20 to 30 permits a month. So in total, it would be about 60 to possibly 70. It depends. Every month is a little different. But it would be, you know, if we follow the policy as it's written now, us preparing a report for each request, each traffic control plan, and presenting an item for each one of those to you for review and analysis and approval. So it's just we're looking at making this repealing this policy to improve our efficiency and follow, and again, be consistent with what the Muni Code recommends. I mean, we're still going to bring in any type of significant striping change to any street, you know, collector major streets that come through, always stops that come in, requests that come in and are recommended for installation to come through you for final recommendation as well. And then we also have speed limits that still come through you. So, and in addition to anything that would have to go to the city council, such as the angle parking, anything, any type of parking changes in business areas, parking meters, and so forth. So we're just trying to be consistent with what the Muni Code already has in place.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions?
Yeah, if you can leave that slide up, that'd be great. So on the second bullet point there, says if a citizen request is contrary to the California Vehicle Code or an existing council policy, staff denies the request without referring to commission. Can you give me an example of when that would be denied to a citizen?
So an example would be like if we get a request for a traffic signal. The traffic signal, there's a warrant system that's based on the California Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices that sets out that warrant system. So if we evaluated that location for a signal and it doesn't meet the criteria, then it's an item that we would not bring to you for consideration because it doesn't meet the criteria, or something that was to be suggested that, again, was in violation of the vehicle code, such as possibly, let's say, lowering a speed limit from, you know, I don't know, 50 miles an hour to 25. Something mm-hmm. like that, that's, again, would be in violation and we could not support it in any way through the vehicle code or the MUTCD, then that's an item that we would not present to you.
Right, but so I guess what I'm not understanding maybe is, so you're talking about if a citizen makes a request and we do a traffic study there and it doesn't meet the criteria, that's different. But what about on a street that's, let's say, dangerous? I mean, is there anything in the vehicle code? I mean, so if a citizen writes in and says, I believe this road's dangerous, you know, what kind of traffic calming measures can we implement?
Right.
And I mean, are you saying, like, because something like that isn't in the vehicle code, that you would just stop that immediately? Or are you saying after you did the study?
No, we would.
That it wouldn't come to us?
So we would do a study if someone claimed that a location was dangerous. We would evaluate for safety. So we would use all our tools, look at our traffic calming measures that are available to us.
Right.
Again, you know, for example, we have a council policy for speed humps. Mm-hmm. So we would not recommend speed humps on a location where it doesn't meet the criteria for speed humps. But there's other, potentially there could be other measures that could be implemented in that location if if we do determine that there's, it's a, you know, relatively unsafe or unsafe condition. So we would still follow through and investigate and apply other measures besides, again, like the speed humps that would maybe not meet that criteria or that policy for that location, but there could be other options to consider. So we exhaust the different options that are available to us.
Okay, so then the last part of that bullet point two, it says staff denies the request without referring to commission. So does that mean that you may be doing studies and that we'd never see them?
It's possible, yeah. So okay. For example, what I just mentioned about speed humps,
right.
We get several requests for speed humps throughout the city, and we go through the process of collecting data and comparing it or, you know, judging it against the council policy. And if it doesn't meet the council policy, then it's denied. And so you don't see those requests.
Right. But because I've served on this commission prior years ago, and I remember there was a few times when the staff had done studies and the commission still, even though it didn't meet the criteria, we thought there was like unusual circumstances to support making a recommendation to city council. So are you saying that we're not going to ever get into that position because you're not going to even bring it to us if it doesn't meet the criteria, but maybe it's close?
We're not, yeah, if a location doesn't meet the criteria, let's say, we would not present those to you. But if someone reached out to you somehow and the commission initiated that request back to us and said, we want to have an item to discuss this location, you know, we would present our findings and you would be able to make considerations and recommendations again. But, you know, if you recommended something that was potentially unsafe or in violation of the vehicle code or certain standards, then that would be, you know, obviously a concern for us. And that would be, you know, a discussion that we would definitely have in that meeting. But there is a possibility that you're going to see items that if the public reaches out to you or you as a commissioner or commission decide that you want to investigate or evaluate a certain location, certain area, we can have an item at a future meeting and present the findings for you. And so, yeah, it's possible that you would see some of those items, but it wouldn't come through us. It would not be initiated by us.
Okay. Okay, and just one last follow-up question, sorry. So, and that bullet point two, so that's something that's existing right now? That's the policy now, or that's being updated, or is that?
That's essentially how we go through our workflow and how we okay. process
So that's
our
not
request.
Being changed or anything, though?
No, that's not necessarily okay. being changed.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah, the main change, just to be clear, too, is that in the council policy as it stands now, there's language that requires that we bring to the safety commission all the traffic-related requests, so any and all. And that's what that's one of the main concerns for us, is that we have a high number of requests that come in through from the public, and in addition to traffic control requests or traffic control plan requests that we process through permits, that would also be, per the policy, would have to come through the commission.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was a little bit confused, because on bullet point one, it says that, you know, you bring in all citizen traffic-related requests, but then on bullet point two, it says only or unless it's contrary to the California Vehicle Code.
Right. And so
it's a little bit, to me, I mean, it looks a little bit conflicting, so.
Yeah, and I understand. So, I mean, I think we probably could have written it better for the presentation to be a little more clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions from the commissioners?
Let me see if I understand. Earlier, you had a question about how you as a citizen can approach us. My understanding is that we will get an email once you submit it to the commission, and we would get copies of those emails. Am I correct in that?
Yes, that's what I've been doing.
Okay. So we've been seeing a lot of emails coming in from the Crusaders. Thank you for that. But at the same time, we have, you are not limiting any of the citizens from saying, I don't agree with city staff's decision, and they can come here in this public forum and express their frustration, may it be, and ask for us to see if we could put an item in a future agenda. So I don't know that you're, we're limiting anything.
No, we're not. And okay. That's exactly what the intent is, or continues to be the intent, is that the public may reach out to you, whether via email or may come in and at a meeting, present their case as a public comment, and you can may consider that for a future item.
And I, for one, honestly, don't want to see every request for changing the parking or a parking meter or painting the curb red or anything along those lines. I mean, it would be unruly, I think, for us. So, no other questions.
Well, good points. I think that's the purpose of this change, right?
Exactly, yes.
To limit it. We have a public comment. Sorry.
Yes, I have another question. It's my understanding that the Muni Code takes precedence over the council policy anyway, right? So this is more of a cleanup measure?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. So it would be more of a cleanup effort. Right. And that's why we've been following the Muni Code versus the council policy, because the Muni Code takes precedence, yeah.
Right. And staff has already been following the Muni Code versus this council policy.
Yes.
But
yes,
this will help clarity, and it'll hopefully improve efficiency with your staff and also reduce the number of days required to respond to citizens' requests.
Exactly, yes.
Any more questions from commissioners? Okay, we have a request to speak on agenda item 5.1. Ms. Aurora, would you please come to the podium?
Thank you. As it was mentioned, only some items come to before you, and that leaves me wondering then, how are you going to perform your oversight duties? The committees, any committee, any council put together is in order to assist the city mayor and the council people in order to better serve the citizens by having a group of people, citizens, that will overlook what the staff is doing and ensure that what they're doing is just fair and in lawful and not retaliatory or revengeful just because they hold that position. So how are you going to assume oversight? As far as I know from the previous experiences I've had in serving committees, there are state, county, city laws which when once you become or you're having a subcommittee, you have a right to request additional, requirements of information or things to go beyond that minimum that is set there in order for you to be well informed and be able to serve your position to the best possible. By the time that we come to speak as citizens, it's very frustrating because it is very hard in 3 minutes to explain what we've been going through for weeks. Years. And it is very unjustifiable that in 3 minutes we try to tell you, give you an idea of what's going on and summarize everything and have anybody ask questions and be able to have a dialogue, an intelligent dialogue more than just a recap that can be manipulated because we have data, we have presentations, which are better prepared than a citizen that is trying to come and catch up and figure out how to navigate this system or these committees. Therefore, I am against allowing, or at this point with new members, to allow and say, yeah, let's go ahead and give them more power without fully understanding how will that affect our communication, your role to have some oversight, and how it will impact citizens as a whole in every area. And because I have only 3 minutes, I have to wrap it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
She's a crusader, by the way.
Oh.
We adopted her.
Excuse me? You need to submit a request.
no? Ask the chair.
Currently, no. You have to submit a request if you'd like to speak. Is she also with you? The person? No? I'm sorry, what's your name?
Judy.
Okay, we have a request to speak on item 5.1. Ms. Judy, please come to the podium. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, let's see, okay. You'll have to excuse because you need to give me a few seconds to like catch my breath because I'm a little nervous. I am against this because I definitely agree with the other resident here of Chula Vista that I think the purpose of the commission and all of the people that sit at this chair, it's to do the oversight. And it is very true that it's very frustrating by the time we get here. And it takes a lot of time and energy, and it's taking time away from our own personal lives. And by the time we get to the point that we're reporting something, it's been years in some cases. As someone else mentioned, it's true. And if we are already doing our best to make the time to report an issue, by the time that a decision may or may not be made, I feel like it's an additional obstacle at that point to try to figure out how the system really even works, and who do we talk to next? That has been my experience. I have grown up in Chula Vista all my life. I've never had to deal with having to figure out how the system works, but it has been a bit of a challenge for me, I'll be honest. So I would say that I would really hope that everyone that sits at this seat wants to have a look at the, I don't know if we're calling them requests, right? The citizens' requests for making our communities safe, making our communities more safe. We have to think about how our standards for safety can be improved. And I think we always have to revisit that. Our cities change, our cities evolve. And any decision that may have been made years and years ago may not really be something that we should be continuing to do just because it was decided before any of us were born. So I think that for that reason, there does need to be an oversight of whatever the citizens' requests are. Maybe you don't want to see a new parking meter suggestion or some, you know, things that are not, you know, big safety concerns. But for safety concerns that citizens are bringing up, I would really appreciate that you guys do not approve that. Thank you.
Ms. Judy, I got a question for you. Do you have an example of something you submitted that you weren't comfortable with your response, our response, or city's response?
Sorry, I can't get my voice to stop trembling. I'm usually actually a very good speaker.
Take your time.
For me, my experience has been, like I said, just as a citizen, figuring out who do I talk to begin with. And speaking with one person and then really figuring out that I need to speak with another person or another person. Like, who do we need to talk to for
change?
Let
me clarify my question. Is there an example of some that you submitted specifically to?
Yes, and I know some of the names here. Of some of the folks that are here, I have had some concerns specifically with preventative measures. I feel like there's a lot of waste of resources because we're not being preventative in our thinking and we're not being comprehensive. And I feel like we waste a lot of our resources calling police officers for the same issues when we could be preventative, and we're not being preventative. So we're wasting taxpayer dollars as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I could be more specific later. I'm going to come back.
Anybody have any more questions, comments?
So I'm not sure, maybe for Chair Cervantes or staff, if this is a question. So some of the residents are concerned that this change is going to take away our oversight. So can you elaborate if that is the case? I don't think it is, but it seems to me that, you know, that this is might be getting miscommunicated to the public too. So based on what these residents have said, and you know, about oversight, that we're not going to have oversight anymore. Can you touch base on that, please?
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, I mean, you'll continue to have the oversight that you've had for the last, you know, 20 plus years. So this council policy went in effect in 1995. Since then, there's been some adjustments in the Muni Code, and this is what we're, one of the things that we're doing is because the city clerk went through the Muni Code and updated the names and functions of some of the commissions. They identified this council policy. They brought it, not that we didn't know that it was there, but it was brought up to our attention even more. And it was pointed out that, and as we were going through it, we noticed that there were some significant changes or differences between what the Muni Code says the Traffic Safety Commission is responsible for and what the council policy actually states as well. So it's, again, the operation of the Traffic Safety Commission will continue to be the same as it's been for the last 25, 28 years. You'll continue to have that that approval, that those you can still continue to make the recommendations that you made in the past. It's just one of, again, like I said, you know, the concern that we had with that policy as it's written is that every traffic-related request would come through this commission. And it's a matter of volume, too. When this policy was written, it was, the population was about 148,000 or less. Now we're close to 300,000. And so, and growing still. So it's just a volume thing, and it's not something that's even sustainable, and I don't know that it was sustainable even back, you know, in 1995, because soon after there were changes to the Muni Code that kind of gave us the new rules, if you want to say that, if you want to call it that, because, again, the Muni Code takes precedence over the council policy. So the operation of the commission will continue to be the same. You'll have, you know, you'll be reviewing the same type of items that we presented in the past, like restriping, speed humps, always stops, speed limit changes, and so forth. So that will continue.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, then so the difference is going to be the volume of information we see. We're going to be still seeing the same type of information, but not just every request. Like you said, because you said the policy before said that we are going to see all the requests.
Right.
And that's what those two bullet points right there are now saying.
Right. And I think that, I mean, I've been here about 6 years. And we've been operating under the Muni Code rules. So which means that you see the type of requests that require your attention per the Muni Code, or that, again, that are going to be advanced to potentially to the City Council if you recommend and approve them. I wasn't here 25, 28 years ago, so I don't know if even when the policy, as soon as it was adopted, you were actually seeing, or the commission was actually seeing every single request as it came in.
Right.
But again, it's a matter of cleaning up our operation and our documents, really our policy, and getting rid of that policy that we haven't been following because the Muni Code takes precedence.
Mm-hmm. So I guess so. Like, one concern that I would have with that is, I mean, the municipal code is going to supersede policy anyway. So there's probably a lot of redundancy there. So I see why the city's doing that. I just left GMOC, and we're doing a big overhaul on that as well. And it makes sense to do that. But on something when it comes to safety, the thing that does, I'm not saying I'm concerned about it now, but so if there's an issue going on out there and it's reported, you know, let's say it's a severe safety issue, at what point, I mean, and it just looks on the surface that it's not something worthy of coming here, at what point would it come here at the expense of something bad happening in the interim? I mean, what's the policy? Or, I mean, how many times do people have, how many complaints are we going to have to get before you're going to say, hey, we, you know, we might need to look at this further?
Well, I mean, obviously we take safety very seriously, and that's our number one priority. So we evaluate every concern, regardless of whether it's a serious safety concern or if it's a perceived safety concern. We evaluate it just the same. So you may see requests come through you if the public can still reach out to you mm-hmm. through their email or through, again, the public comment.
Right.
That's still going to be an option. Like I said, the operation of the commission is really not going to change from what I've seen in the last 6 years.
Okay.
And probably beyond, because I can't imagine that even 15 years ago. I've lived in Chula Vista for 20 years, over 20 years. So I know what the population has been like and the growth and all that. I doubt that 20 years ago you were seeing, the commission was seeing every single request that came in. So I think the operation of our traffic engineering group and the commission has been that we, the traffic engineering group, evaluates every request. You know, if the request is not doesn't meet the requirements or criteria specified in the Muni Code, it's not presented to the Safety Commission.
Right. Okay.
So really it's not going to change. The access that the public will have to you should not change either.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you.
As I understand it, we're going to continue to meet as we've been in the last 6 years. And the only thing that's changing is the volume. We're going to continue to depend on your training, experience, your expertise, California law, city municipal code, and all the guidelines that you have for safety. And you're going to continue to bring that information for us just like we have in the past.
That's correct.
Except the volume is going to drop.
And again, to be clear, like the volume, it's not necessarily going to change as far as what you see, because what you've been seeing is what's been what you've been required to see per the Muni Code, which is what we've been following for the last several years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions from commissioners?
I do. I have a quick question. My question is, what is the protocol when the public reaches out, whether it's by phone call or by email? How promptly do we get back to them?
It depends. If it's by email, by phone call. If it's a phone call, if they leave a message, you know, we within 24 hours we try and respond and just at least acknowledge that we received that call. If it's an email, we have a system where it's an automatic, you know, response as far as acknowledging that we received the request. If it's the public reaching out to us individually, to our personal email or at work email, it could be, you know, the goal again would be within 24 hours. Sometimes it could be longer. And when I say 24 hours, is within the business week, not accounting for weekends. So that's the objective. As far as our response times on an actual evaluation, it depends. It depends on what the request is. That some are quicker than others. If we need to collect data, if we need to visit the site, which generally we visit the site, every site, regardless of the request. That response or that final response or answer could be, you know, from anywhere from a week, 30 days, sometimes 60 days. If it's going to be beyond 30 days, we normally reach back out to the person and say, give them an update and say, we're going to need additional time to collect data. And it could take another 30 to 60 days, you know. So we try to be responsive in our initial response to acknowledge the request, and then give them a sort of an estimate of how long it will take us to give them a final response or recommendation.
Sorry. So nobody has ever left not responded?
I can't say nobody. I mean, I think it's I can't say nobody. I mean, we tried not to let that happen where things fall through the cracks, and we have a work management system where we track the request and we log them all, I mean, as best as we, not as best as we can, but the intent is to log all of the requests. So we tried not to let things fall through the cracks. I mean, I think like in any operation, any industry, things can happen like that where someone doesn't get a response, but the obviously the objective is that everyone gets a response.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions?
Do you need a motion?
I'm waiting.
I so move.
We have a motion. I second it. That the commission adopt resolution 5.1. Flo. He's not getting it. Commissioner.
Something's wrong with mine, Flo.
Is it not showing?
No.
No.
It's showing a request to speak.
You want to say something?
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, there it goes.
Okay.
Got it. Thank you.
Lock the phone.
Sorry.
There it goes. Okay, motion is passed. Let's move on to item number 6, presentations. Under 6.1, police department traffic data update.
Here's going to be the graph here real quick. So I just want to talk about our collisions. Again, this is the beginning of 2023. So this is really just for the first part of the year that we have here. So historically speaking, when I'm looking at this graph here, I'm proud to say that our collisions are down. That's always a good thing for us. We are definitely out there trying to be as proactive as possible. Us as in the traffic division, like I kind of explained to Mary earlier, is that we're the ones that are really doing most of the traffic enforcement out there. Our patrol officers are out there, they're responding to the calls, they're trying to be as proactive as possible, but a lot of times they don't have that ability to do the proactivity of, looking for the speeders or sitting on a stop sign trying to do that. We have gone around into the roll calls for the different traffic ones, and we've been informing them that, hey, stop hiding somewhere and go out there and be a little bit more vigilant. If you could sit at an intersection for a little bit longer, while you're working or you're typing up your notes in your vehicle, that's going to help, proactively let people know and slow down in certain areas. So I don't know if that's what's helping, but, we're just happy to say our collisions are down at this point.
Excellent.
For our traffic citations, historically speaking, again, based off of last year compared to this year, we're a little bit higher than we were last year, but we're still at, where we're at for staffing levels. So when I spoke to my boss said he's happy with what we're doing because, we're out there being as proactive as possible based off the workload that we do have. Again, working the traffic collisions, which include the hit and runs, fatalities, serious injuries, and also being out there proactively trying to reduce the speeders and stop sign violations. So historically speaking, we're on par for what we have been for last year, but not for the previous years. But I will say for the previous years, we did have more staffing back there in the traffic division. Currently, we're only at 5 motor officers back there that are doing proactivity with the proactivity of traffic enforcement. And that was the same as for last year. We're the same as we were then. So any questions?
Excellent.
When you say traffic collisions, does that include only the reported accidents?
Those are only the ones that are getting reported to the actual police department, yes.
Okay. So an accident report is created or a phone call would suffice?
Yes, when they're calling in saying that they, you know, they've been involved in a traffic collision, they go out there. So when I'm looking at the traffic collisions there, when you're saying that we could arrive at there's no injuries and the parties are exchanging information at that point when we're arriving, there won't be a traffic collision reported at that point. We just let them, you know, exchange information and we let the insurance companies handle it.
So it's only when a report is created?
I believe, based off the numbers there, I would say that was only for the, you know, the actual traffic collisions that were actually reported. That would be sent up to Sacramento.
I have a question. Did you say that you didn't know what the reason was for the reduction in traffic collisions?
Yes, I don't know why, you know, statistically speaking, if that makes sense. You know, when I look at the graph there, I could not tell you what the previous years, why, at that time, what those collisions were, because it doesn't break it down for me to say, hey, these were the collisions that were being reported.
Well, so 2023, we're at 330. Could you...
So these are the collisions. The other ones were... graph was traffic citations.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Disregard that question.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, looking at this, it says in, you know, 2022, we were at 93 collisions. Right. And then for 2023, we were down to 65.
Okay. Commissioner Orso Delgado?
Request, officer. Sometimes I see colors and they look too much the same to me. Can you make this year like red, please?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. It wasn't me that makes these graphs.
No, because, no. Yeah. I mean, I look at all the greens and I go, okay, which green is 2023? And then I go, oh, it's the little one over there.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Corner.
I mean, you know, and Commissioner, you had a good question, you know, I can't tell you, you know, why the collisions are down, but I can look into that, you know,
I saw
I can report
same
that
thing.
Back.
Okay.
More questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to item 6.2, Bikeway and Pedestrian Facilities Capital Improvement Project, also known as SIP.
So the following are projects in the construction phase. TRF 0408, these are traffic signal modifications, which involve pretty much replacing most of the signal at these intersections, 11 locations. Favor and Broadway Sidewalk Improvement Project. This is an older photo. It is now curb gutter sidewalk on both sides of the street. And then on the vacant lot that you see, that is the location of our city shelter that is currently under construction. And from a meeting I was in this afternoon, they are doing the final inspections and hope to have the occupancy approved for those shelter units pretty soon. I didn't get an exact date as far as soon, but hopefully in a few months here that'll be occupied. And the curb gutter sidewalk is in on this segment. Installation of LEED pedestrian interval signal operations. This is an ongoing for the CIP, where I think we're almost there. I didn't get an update from our current signal engineer, but this involves timing of the pedestrian cycle, and it provides them the approval to step off the curb before the signal changes to green. So there's no they kind of get a head start to cross the to enter the crosswalk before a vehicle can get the green signal. The D Street sidewalk project, that is probably 99% complete. I was actually out there the other day, and they're just doing a few final punch list items, but it is pretty much there on the south side of D Street between, I think, 3rd Avenue and 4th Avenue. Ladder crosswalks at signalized intersections. These are, we had a few, I think 5 intersections where we were updating, and those are done. We have another project too where we're trying to install these ladder striping in between the concrete bands at all signalized intersections in the city. The following are now in design phase and planning phase. We have a CIP to, this is the radar unit that we have installed on East Reentra. And we have a CIP to install, I think, 5 more. And that is still in with our design group. The sidewalk gap project on 3rd Avenue between Anita and Zenith. From our meeting this morning, I was told they are working on this project and in consultant with another project to have 30% design plans ready for review. Alpine Avenue improvements between Emerson and Naples. This one I didn't get an update in the meeting, so I apologize. I'm not familiar. If I'm not mistaken, it's still. I did speak with the design engineer, and they're probably 20-30% design plans, and they were. I remember talking. They had a question over there near Naples Street, which is just north of this picture, or the top of the picture. And from what I know, this is the last segment in this neighborhood on the north-south streets that do not have upgraded street improvements, curb gutter, sidewalk. Every single north-south street in this neighborhood between 3rd and Naples now has improvements. Heritage Road, Main Street Winding and Bridge Project. The update I received was they're finalizing the EIR, Environmental Impact Report, on this. And it could possibly be bid by next year, late next year, possibly. I don't know if anyone's familiar with this project. It's by the amphitheater. As you go south of Main Street into the city of San Diego, they're going to widen the bridge. Intersection safety improvements, that one is currently being reviewed. Olympic Parkway safety enhancement, this one is also with our design engineers and being reviewed. Sidewalk replacement program. This is a annual project, a CIP project that we have, and it's ongoing, and they are currently working on it also. Pedestrian guardrail improvements. We have a couple that I know of and that we're working on. This is the location at J Street and Nacion and at 2nd Avenue north of C Street. We're also replacing an existing guardrail. Pedestrian improvements, uncontrolled mid-block crosswalk at Castle Park Middle School. We are in the design stage on this one. I should have brought the list and they would have, I can give you information on when they potentially want to bid on this project. This will include pedestrian push buttons and curb bump outs and a full crosswalk for the students at Castle Park Middle. ADA pedestrian curb ramps, again, this is an ongoing annual type project that we do every year. I know we just finished a big project and the staff is currently starting to work on the next project for next year. North 2nd Avenue shoulder improvements. This is the guardrail that will be replaced here at North 2nd Avenue, north of C Street. Telegraph Canyon Road raised median improvements. This is the intersection at Old Telegraph Canyon Road and Telegraph. There's a few businesses there to the south side, and in the future, we're going to prevent a left out of the Old Telegraph Canyon Road, and the patrons of that business will make a right turn and eventually make a U-turn at Medical Center Drive once we restrict that left turn out of that street. Adaptive signal system expansion. We have adaptive signal systems on a few of our major corridors, Olympic Parkway and on Telegraph and on Otelex Road in front of Southwestern College, and this will expand on Olympic, on Otelex Road further to the east. Signal improvements at two locations. This one, the picture is in Jaqua, but at Jaqua Street and Main Street, the traffic signal is going to be designed for that intersection. F Street Promenade Phase 1, there is a project to enhance F Street from Bay Boulevard to 4th Avenue. The first phase is Bay Boulevard to Broadway, and that is still in the funding. And well, we did get a funding from our ATP grant, and so the design, I don't remember the design schedule for that, but with the funding, it should be moving forward. Palomar rail grade separation. We just got the plans for this project about a week ago, and staff now is reviewing all the plans and will be providing comments by the end of May, and then it'll determine how far along we are in the design phase. ADA path at Otay Lakes Road, Camino de Cerro Grande. We have a couple of bus stops on this location, and this is on the north side of the Otay Lakes Road and by the hill. And this project will help provide the paved surface sidewalk to get to these bus stops, and it's in the design phase. And any other further questions?
I just have a question in the future. Do we have plans finalized for traffic conditions at the convention center areas? I see the Roars getting demolished as we speak, and they're moving pretty fast down there.
The project is, if you ever go out there, and you'll see multiple cranes now out there, And we have been reviewing the improvement plans for the last few years. So those are all pretty much approved at this point, and we've reviewed them all. And until the convention center is further along, you won't see them yet, but it'll come pretty quick, those street improvements.
Excellent. And any truth to the soccer stadium?
I just read that in the newspaper myself, and I'm all for it.
Okay.
I just don't know. I'll let Eddie deal with the traffic, though.
That's going to be interesting.
I'm for it.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
I do. For the projects that are in design, the date on the lower right-hand corner of the slides, is that when the design will be complete or the construction will be complete?
It looks like it will be when construction starts.
Oh, when construction starts.
Potential dates for when construction starts.
Thank you.
Commissioner Caldillo?
Yes. So my question is about sidewalk replacement. How do you guys measure sidewalks? Do you measure it in feet? And if so, how many feet of sidewalk has been replaced in, let's say, the 12 months? And then the second part to my question is, so this part of the question pertains more to the east side. So on the east side, there's a lot of HOAs in the east side, and there's a lot of bad sidewalks in the east side. So who's responsible for those sidewalks? Is it the city or is it the HOA?
I think it depends on the location. So there could be some that where the HOA would be responsible for those, mm-hmm. even though they appear to be in the city right away. And then there would be others that are the city. So, like, if you wanted us to investigate something more specifically, we can follow up on a specific location if you have locations in mind. As far as the other question on we measure sidewalks in feet, and we can come back to you on how many or how much sidewalk has been done in the last year or the last several years, and how much is planned mm-hmm. As well. We can come back to you with those numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Commissioner Delgado?
I have a comment. It's not really a question. If you go back to the first slides where you're showing the ongoing work, construction, any one of these. So the little flag on the bottom says when it will be finished.
Yes, it's kind of like the finish line type.
Okay.
So, like I mentioned, the actual curb gutter sidewalk at this location is already built. The street has been repaved already, and it's part of the city shelter project. But that project is still not finalized, but the street improvement portion in the city right-of-way is complete.
So for me, personally, it would be very helpful and nice, actually, to see what it looks like today, not what it did before you did the work, for one. Two, if you go into the ones with multiple locations, maybe a little table on the side that shows where all of the locations are. And for the ones that you're looking at design, a little bit more of a status that tells me when you're looking at either finishing the design or whether you're on the environmental phase or what it is that you're doing. I mean, I see all of these, but they don't give me any information except for what you're telling me. And maybe it could be something that could be included in the report, like a table or something, I don't know.
I do have a report for this, and we can talk about it later, and I can give you a little bit better schedules on these projects.
Or just include it with the package.
We'll include it with the package, because okay. we have that report available, and it'll be an easy
Thank you.
Thing for us.
Excellent.
Yeah. And to add on to that, if for some of these slides, if you can possibly include a little more detail as to the locations, maybe an address or limits, street limits. So I'm just looking at the Telegraph Canyon road raised median improvements. I'd love to do a drive-by and check those out, but I'm not sure where on Telegraph Canyon. Thank you.
Will do.
I have a question. The paving of the sidewalks on the, not Alpine, it's the one before, I believe. Oh, are you still answering your question?
No.
Oh, okay. The land, there was somebody I saw, I think it was D Street. And so it looked like the homeowners are, had planted some plants. And so my concern was, or my question is, wait, did we pass that? There.
Right there.
Okay, see there. So the homeowner is, I'm sure there's a process that they're notified, hey, we're going to be doing this, and your land only goes to this point. I'm sure he's supposed to know where his land is, but do we just go through there and make sidewalks, or do we talk to each of the homeowner?
No, there's a whole process that we go through notifying each homeowner of a potential project even before it even starts, yes.
Yeah, I'm only concerned because he's, in this case, he's put made some effort to try to make it look nice, you know, in his opinion. And so,
yeah, this, again, photo doesn't do justice. There are some homeowners that actually built retaining walls in the city right-of-way.
Oh, wow.
And they, you have to have that knowledge that if you do those types of improvements, the city does have the right to remove and doesn't have to replace it. But in this case, they work with the homeowner prior, and some of those items are negotiated, and we try to put back everything we can that was existing.
Good. Okay.
It also, just to clarify on that, I think it depends on the improvements. I mean, we work with the homeowners, but also there's sufficient, or we, in our opinion, sufficient advance notice so that they can make adjustments and arrangements to relocate their you know, improvements. But there's obviously, it often happens that construction starts and they still haven't made those adjustments. So there's, you know, there's some efforts still going on from the city side to work with these homeowners. But as far as restoring or reinstalling the improvements that they've made, I mean, that's not something that we necessarily do.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, we'll move on to item number 7, staff comments.
Just wanted to announce that Paul Overbauer, our senior civil engineer that's been with you guys for several years now, took a position with another agency. So he's left us about a month ago. So to bigger and maybe better things. So it'll be... For the next several meetings, at least, I'll be here, Ben, and some of my other staff will be here, too.
Do you mind telling us where he went?
He went to the Sweetwater Authority. So we wish him the best.
So it starts raining, and he goes to Sweetwater Authority. No more drought.
Right when the potholes are going to start.
Any more comments?
No, thank you, and welcome to the new commissioners.
And item number 8, chair comments. We talked about flow last meeting about receiving emails from the public. Yes. I like the way you put them on the package. That's how I would prefer they come. The ones you sent months ahead of time when they first come in, I'll read them, but then I forget about them. All the emails and the comments.
Still want them as they are.
I like the way you set it up this week. Because I sat down and I took some time just to read them all at one time, and they're fresh in mind when I come to the meeting. When you send them, when they first come out, like on the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, and we don't have a meeting until the following month, especially when we don't have a quorum, and we skip a month, then it's no longer fresh in mind.
Right. So you'll still continue to get them as they are received, and then you'll get them all at once, and they'll be included in the agenda packet.
Thank you. And item number 9, commissioner comments. Okay. Then I'd like to adjourn to the regular meeting scheduled for May 11th, 2023 at 6 p.m. Got that? Yeah, I saw the colors you're referring to on the...